भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So the living entity basically is trying to be happy, trying to express their individuality, their independence. So that being one natural and so it's a matter of finding this in Krishna. That now we try to fulfill our nature, our needs, by avoiding Krishna. We see a situation, and we observe the situation, analyze the situation, and try to come up with how many ways, or what possible way, or what is the best way that we can be happy in this, get something out of this. Right? So, the principle of observing the situation, understanding that the situation itself can generate experiences, facilities, this is technically not the problem. The problem is we're looking at it for ourselves, not for Krishna. You go to the market, you pick up a nice mango and think, wow, I'd really like this. That's a problem. You pick it up and go, wow, Krishna would like this. That's not a problem. Right? So you went to the market, you looked at the whole market, then this is the season, okay, mangoes are coming, they're the new thing, they're special. That you picked out the mango, that you could analyze within the mangoes, which were good mangoes, within the good mangoes, which was the best mango. That's not the problem. The problem is your conclusion is for myself. Right? I'm the enjoyer. And I'm the controller, and I will enjoy. This is the problem. But if I'm the servant, and Krishna will enjoy, there's no problem. This is, you know, you could say on the list of number one mistakes that, I mean, one, everybody's doing, but specifically devotees make, is that they don't understand that that's all that's wrong. Right? The only thing wrong in our life is we're not seeing Krishna. That's all. It's not what we're doing. It's not, oh, he got up in the morning. What nonsense. Oh, he took a bath. Oh, what a, you know, so much in Maya. Oh, he put on clean clothes. Oh, he went out for a walk. Oh, my God, the amount of, you know, how you say, depravity here. No. The problem is Krishna's not involved. That's all. It's that simple. We'll say, okay, it's that simple, but you apply that in everything you do. Right? You walk into the room's empty, you know, for class. What do? You look around. What do? You look for the best spot where you can sit that you'll be happy. Is it the best spot to hear the class, to take part in the class? Probably that's not the consideration. Where's it going to be comfortable? Where's the fan? Where's the this? Where's the that? There may be the consideration, okay, I can see the person. And so that's part of the process. But I'm going to say it's mixed. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. You come in outside to the front gate, you're going to leave your shoes. Then what do you look at? What'll be the best for your shoes? Your shoes. Not what'll be the best that when I come out I still have shoes to use in Krishna's service. You understand? There's a difference. So we analyze every situation for ourselves. This is Maya. This is the first stage of Maya. Right? Covering potency and the throwing. Covering means you look at the situation and think there's something here for me. You're covered. Because there isn't. It's all for Krishna anyway. But we're an illusion thing, it's for me. Right? So this element, then we're trying, and why do we do this? It means if I can control, I'm secure, because then I'll be happy. So Krishna consciousness means then you're going to have to make yourself secure within Krishna consciousness, because now we're secure within Maya. Right? We're confident, I will be happy, I can make an arrangement, I can make it happen. And when that doesn't happen, you know, long enough, then we become insecure. What is insecurity? Not humility. Insecurity is, I'm supposed to be the controller, I want to be the controller, but I haven't been so effective at it. So I'm feeling there's some lack in myself because I haven't been good at being the controller. Does that make sense? So, because if we're not the controller, you're not going to be the enjoyer. You understand? You can't enjoy something you can't control. You know, you're on this side of the glass, and the samosa's on that side, you're not going to enjoy it. You have to get control of that samosa. So you have your method, right? You go up to the counter, tell them you want a samosa, give them the money, they hand over the samosa, and now it's yours. You control it. Now you can enjoy it. Right? You know, as long as you don't have the shakes or something that you can't get it on, you know, it holds. Like that. You know, so barring these kind of things, you know. Or there's a bunch of crows there, or a dog, that they also think they want to be in control of that samosa. Then, you know, these kind of things. Or your friend comes up and goes, oh, Dwadasi morning, hey, I've been looking for one of those. And it's kind of like, hey, wait, you know. So the idea is that when we understand is that the position of controlled doesn't mean you won't enjoy. Understand? This principle of exploiting the feminine nature is the principle that every living entity in the material world works on. Right? This is gender exclusive. Right? Everybody, exclusive or exclusive, how would it be the word? Excluding. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're masculine or feminine, everybody does it. Because you're thinking, I'm going to control this and enjoy this. You're not worried if what you're controlling is going to be happy also. Right? But the principle is that the controlled also is happy. Because there's a relationship, there's interaction. Only when there's a relationship and interaction is there going to be experience. And that experience itself is going to be pleasurable for all parties. So therefore, I can be the servant, and I can therefore look at a situation and see what will be best for Krishna. And him being happy, I will be happy. If we're convinced of that, then Krishna consciousness is very easy. But the difficulty is convincing ourselves of that. Well, if we give this up, I give up the control, then how will I be happy? Right? Does that make sense? So, this is the difficulty, is if we understand that giving that up and looking at every situation about how Krishna is involved, or can be involved, then that's when we'll actually be happy. That's Krishna consciousness. It's that simple. Right? Of course, it takes a bit of time to convince ourselves, but that's all you're trying to do. It's not something else. It's not, you know, I sit here and hold my breath till I turn blue, and because Krishna is blue, therefore that's Krishna conscious. You know, it's not stuff like this. You know, I'm the most austere, you know, I'm the most severely, disgustingly austere, so that makes me Krishna conscious. No. It's, are you remembering Krishna? Or is it being done for Krishna? That's all. In other words, every opportunity that there is it being taken for Krishna or for ourselves? That's all. That's it. So now, taking this point a step further, then because now let's say someone is Okay, let's say whatever is the position. So now we are in the position of enjoyed. We may think we're the enjoyer, but that doesn't change the actuality, right? You know, the five-year-old kid thinks he's the lord and master of everything, and whatever he says and wants, it better happen. But the reality is something else, right? They can try, you know, and they may be successful here and there for a few moments, but ultimately, the reality is they're 5 years old, right? And of course, this element of 5 years old has nothing to do with Pilate being 5 years old. So it wasn't, it was an arbitrary number. So you see Krishna, Krishna can reciprocate, right, as himself, right, directly, as the Lord. You don't see him, as the Lord he will reciprocate, but you won't know it. Because you think the material energy is what I'm interacting with, therefore that's making me happy. So Krishna, therefore, as his material energy, is interacting with you. Because the dead matter is not going to do anything. Right? Dead matter, before Krishna looks at it, it's pradhan. You can't even tell the difference between the elements. The 24 elements are so homogeneous, there is no difference. Only when Krishna glances, then they separate. He puts the time potency. Therefore, there's movement. Right? The jivas are injected, so then they have, the desire is there. Then the modes of nature, everything starts. So you're interacting with Krishna, not with anything else. It means you think it's material energy, but you're actually interacting with Krishna, because material energy doesn't interact. That's just the fact. Dead matter sits there, and it's going to sit there a long time. It's not going to go anywhere. So it's interaction, that experience, the transformation, that's all Krishna's potency. So Krishna's doing that. So you see him as matter, he will reciprocate as matter. You see him as the supreme controller, he'll reciprocate as the supreme controller. You see him as, you know, how you say, the most dear person, he'll reciprocate as such. That's all. How, it means you look at the situation, is it for you or for Krishna? And in, and how it is for Krishna, how that's how he'll reciprocate. Right? So simple point. Right? So the person, I'm looking at the situation. How can I control the situation to get what out of it? So, is that what for Krishna or not? Is it favorable for Krishna or not? Right? And what is it you want to get? Enjoyment. So is that enjoyment for Krishna or not? And if it's for Krishna, what kind of enjoyment is it going to get? And according to that, he'll reciprocate. Understand? So how you see yourself and the environment, and what you think you'll gain from it, and what the environment will produce, that is the basis of Krishna consciousness. Do you see it connected to Krishna or not? How much is connected, then Krishna reciprocates as himself. How much you don't see it, you think it's just dead matter. That's all. So now, bringing it to today's topic, then Prahlad Maharaj, then he's seeing Krishna everywhere. So every situation he's in, all he's seeing is opportunities to serve Krishna. That's all. It's not that, you know, there's the kind of, how you say, some strange kind of, I don't understand it, so, you know, make some weird faces and that's spiritual or something. Right? This is a matter of, he just sees Krishna. Right? So now, depending upon what aspect of Krishna he's seeing, that's how Krishna will reciprocate. So the point is whatever you're looking at, it's Krishna that makes it happen. You see Krishna, Krishna is there, personally. You don't see Krishna, then his energies take care. It's that simple. Krishna's in everything, but he's pervading everything as Brahman. He's making everything work as Paramatma. But he'll only manifest as Bhagavan if you see Bhagavan, if you know it's him. Bhagavan is expanded as Paramatma and Brahman is making this whole manifestation work. You see that, he's there. You don't see that, but you still see God, then Paramatma, Brahman, he'll be there. It's still Krishna. So there'll be something special there. But if you don't see Krishna at all in any of his features, then he's Maya. Because all there is Krishna and his three features. There isn't something else. There is not another element in the cosmic creation except Krishna in his three features. That's all there is. And these energies that go with these three features. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj sees Krishna everywhere. And because of seeing him everywhere, then he's always absorbed in Krishna. Whatever the situation, he'll see, okay, what can I do for Krishna? And then he's absorbed. You know, so we see how he sits and thinks about Krishna, takes shelter of Krishna, sees an opportunity to preach, so he's preaching to his associates. Right? You know, his father is asking about his education. Right? So education means knowledge of Vishnu, so he's explaining that. He's seeing these things. But his father, unfortunately, doesn't. Right? Very powerful, very elegant. You could probably say that he was the most materially qualified, you could say, living entity that there's been in history, as far as what we would consider qualified, right? Most of us won't consider sitting on a lotus and, you know, manifesting things from your mind as anything substantial, right? You know, it may not pay the bills, you know, we want some, you know, something solid, right? So Hiranyakashipu, he was solid. Gold and soft bed. You're not going to get better than that, right? He had 10,000 wives. Right? So that's a lot of soft bed. Right? And he's plundered the universe. He's living in Lanka, which is made out of solid gold. Right? So Hiranya is happening. Right? So no one's got, he's controlling the planets. You know, we go to the astrologer, what can I do? You know, what's going on? Oh, this planet is giving you trouble. What can I do to control that? Oh, you can buy this little ring. And then we think, he actually had them tied up, sitting on his steps leading to his throne, and he'd walk on them when he goes and sits down. Right? And that's control. Right? And we've already mentioned enjoyment. It means if you can somehow or another maintain 10,000 wives, you must be doing all right materially, and the arrangements must be fairly nice. Right? Does that make sense? You know, these aren't street girls. Right? You know, so it's not that, you know, give them an iPod and they're happy, right? You know, this is, you know, they need palaces, they need nice stuff. So he's got it. So as far as our inclination towards material prosperity, he's got it. Right? Whatever anybody in this room is looking for materially, he already has that. But still, all that qualification, all that knowledge, he can't see Krishna. He can't see Krishna. So when Prahlad Maharaj is talking about him and how he's everywhere, he doesn't mean that he's just everywhere, like, you know, just the, means as Brahman, yes, but the person has put his potencies everywhere. So Prahlad sees the person. So when Hiranyakashipu asks, is he in this pillar? Yes. You know, he may not have been thinking specifically about that pillar, but he's there, and then seeing that pillar, looking at the pillar, since his father pointed at it, then he will see Lord Vishnu as a person. It is his potency that makes that pillar a pillar. Right? And so, therefore, he's seeing the Supreme Lord as a person. So the Supreme Lord is there as a person, not just as Brahman and Paramatma. So then Hiranyakashipu goes to strike the column, He's not just dealing with Brahman, because, you know, you can take a stick and whack a column all day. Nothing, it's not going to split open, and you're not going to be ripped to shreds. You don't really have to worry about that. Why? Because you're just beating on dead matter. Right? We're not thinking it's God. Right? But here, he's thinking, you say this is God, so he's accepting this is God. He doesn't know. He doesn't see. But Prahlad sees. So he's going on Prahlad's vision, Prahlad seeing the Supreme Person himself. Therefore, when he strikes the column, he's striking the Supreme Lord himself as a person. That's going to be a problem. Right? So then, the Lord manifests. Right? So, being the Supreme Controller, the Supreme like this, then Prahlad is seeing, so that's how he's manifest. It's not that he whacks the pillar and out comes Krishna with his flute, like that, you know, so he walks, and now comes the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. But, taking on that mood, then there's something very special, right? The anger. So, his devotee has surrendered. And so Krishna is reciprocating by protecting, right? And now in this, he has to protect, but he has to protect according to Prahlad's position, how Prahlad's being accosted, and Brahma's curse. Not Brahma's curse, Brahma's benediction, and then Kashyapu's ultimate curse. So, that benediction, then he has to work within that, at the same time as take care of Prahlad, protect Prahlad. So then, all these considerations, he puts it together. Right? Does that make sense? So, why is it special? Because he's going to all that trouble. How big is Prahlad? How big is Brahma? Right? As far as the universe goes, Brahma's quite big, but still he's 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. And he's one in one universe out of unlimited universes. Right, so out of the unlimited living entities in this universe, then he's taking to consider these two. Right? So now, why does he have to do that? It's so small, so minuscule. But because he's doing it, that's why we're attracted. Right? Would we be attracted by the pastime if, you know, Krishna said, well, you know, I want to protect Prahlad, but, you know, why do I have to come out of the pillar? Why can't I just walk in the door, you know? And, you know, this Brahma, he's given all these things, but I'm the Supreme Lord. Why do I care about that? You know, in devotional service, we don't care for the rules, and so we don't follow any. So I'm that one who makes the rules, so why do I have to follow them? You know, so I'll just do whatever I want. Right? And so that's going to generate real deep security in us sitting in this room here, right? Krishna just does whatever he likes. You don't know what it'll be because he doesn't follow the rules. He's spontaneous. He's being himself. Right? That would make it, wouldn't that make you secure? Right? You know, you walk into the temple and Krishna's on the altar and he's smiling, right? You expect them to be standing there and smiling no matter what you've done or how long it's been since you've come to visit him. Right? He's got a smile. Right? Isn't it? Who do you know that whenever you see them and you want them to be happy, they're going to do it? Think about it. Even your mom won't do that all the time. Most of the time, yes, but not all the time. You understand? But Krishna will do that every time. Why? Because that's what you want to see. So he considers. Right? It's a fallacy to think that practical means not considering all these things. You can do practically, yes, you'll move material energy, you'll move dead matter, but you won't move anyone's heart, including Krishna. It's the situation that how to find the uniqueness, right? We like variety. So the point is variety means it always applies. If you're trying to adjust something, you have to see the situation and adjust accordingly. You see that, you're working with the nature. You're not, you're going against nature. God does it, so we want to associate with God. Why wouldn't we do it? You understand? So, as Prahlad in any situation, he's seeing the Lord. So whatever situation the devotee's in and how the devotee is seeing him, that's how the Lord reciprocates. Therefore, he's come as Lord Nrisimhadev. Right? Very special and unique, because the situation is special and unique. Think of any other story, any other situation. Do you know any other situation like this? No. So it's unique, it's special. So, the point is what Prahlad's doing, he's Acharya, right? He's one of the 10 Mahajans. So he's showing us how to think of Krishna, how to be absorbed in Krishna. This is not just something, okay, if you're 5 years old, you happen to be on the heavenly planets because your father went in there and kicked everyone else out, and so therefore, that's why you're there. And so, you know, it just happened to be in between school times and all that, and your father got a little bent out of shape, and now he's going to knock one of the pillars out, you know, in the hallway. Then only, no. This makes sense. Then only I can follow Prahlad Maharaj. No, the point is Prahlad Maharaj is any situation, he's simply trying to see how to use that for Krishna. That's all. And Krishna gives in the 18th chapter of Gita, it's one of the qualities he gives of the advanced person is he doesn't look for sense gratification within a situation. So it's one of the qualities. Right? So what does that mean? That means any situation, it's all Maya and all nonsense? No, technically there is, the only Maya is that we don't see Krishna. That's all. So you say, oh, that's all Maya. What's the Maya? The Maya is not Krishna, not the things. Does that make sense? That's the point. So, therefore, whatever situation we're in, we can see it in connection to Krishna. Whatever we're in, how to look at it connected to Krishna. What's going to give the best result for Krishna? If we do that without making any other adjustment, we're Krishna conscious. That's what Prabhupada said. You don't have to change the situation. You have to change your consciousness. That's all. This is what it means. Giving up that, what is it? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, the sensuous gaze of perception. He says that's the materialist. They look at the situation and with a sensual gaze they try to analyze what I can get from this. You give that up and simply, same situation, analyze what I can get for Krishna, it changes. And what you get for Krishna is according to the books. You can't make it up. Right? Krishna wrote the books. Right? Is that okay? Do you have any questions or comments or yes. This is Gizmo here. No, it's for the benefit of the greater audience. So it would be big brother, because we're not so much in the, you know, brothers. So is it Big Prabhu, or Big Prabhu is watching you? Yes.
And you said you don't have to change situation, only the mentality. Now why does Srila Prabhupada say you should give what is unfavorable and accept only what's favorable?
But you give your making this choice of favorable and unfavorable where?
The situation that's unfavorable to serve Krishna.
No. You're in a situation. Okay, we're in this room. Okay, sitting here listening to class, is that favorable?
Okay, same situation, but we're taking a
baseball bat and breaking out all the windows. So it's not the situation, it's what we do with the situation. So favorable and unfavorable means giving up what's unfavorable. What would be an unfavorable application of the situation? and favorable is what is would be favorable in that situation. You understand? Does that make sense? That's all. The thing is, it's so simple that it may elude us. But we have to be able to take that and apply it, right? We walk around the corner into a dark alley and there's some funny noises. Okay, now what do we want to do? Go look and see what's making the noise or something? No, you know, generally we want to get it. But why would we want to go? We're in that situation, that's what you're in. You can't be in another situation unless you make an endeavor to change it. But you have to start from that situation. I'm in the dark alley, but I'd rather be somewhere else. Where do I start from? My bedroom, right? That would be a better place, right? So I just start there, and I'm not in the alley. No, you have to get there. So you have to start with the dark alley. You can't start somewhere else. This whole thing is, well, you know, we should just get, no, but how are you going to get, you're in that, you have to deal with that. So, okay, so that's the situation. Now, you want to leave that situation. Why? Why do you want to leave? It's not, what is not favorable? Situations affect your consciousness. Okay? You mean consciousness means like if there's a bullet through your head, that kind of effect of the consciousness? Or you know what I'm saying? In other words, don't try to pull out the right answers. You're supposed to think about this because taking that, I mean, getting the right answer on the top there is great, but how did you get to that? If we just jump there, how do you get there? Then we'll say Krishna consciousness is not practical. The point is that by staying in that situation, it may be physically harmful, right? Or even if it's not so, it's going to be definitely emotionally, and there's a good chance it's going to set you back a bit monetarily, right? No? So there's on all platforms, it may be difficult. So, therefore, you want to remove yourself, but why would you want to remove yourself? So you can be more Krishna conscious. But you could, right there in that situation, be very Krishna conscious and think of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was in situations like that, and he was very Krishna conscious. So, yes, you be Krishna conscious, but the point is we're discussing why do you want to leave? You know what I'm saying? Maybe you're not so mature. So if you stay there and the guys come out and beat you with a few baseball bats like that and take all your money and everything, that would be the, you know, more austere and yeah, then I was advanced. You know what I'm saying? This is the problem. We think Krishna consciousness is simply these really tough, austere things. And because we can't do that, therefore we're not very Krishna conscious. You know, if I can stay up all night on the codicil and not fall asleep and completely fast from, you know, food and water and even air would be good, you know, like that. So, you know, then that would really, that's what's going to please Krishna. No, it's your devotion. Right? So if you're doing that with devotion, then Krishna will be very pleased. If you're just doing that because you think an austerity is automatically devotion, then you've made a mistake. So the point is you want to leave there because then whatever facilities you have for serving Krishna may be seriously compromised if you stand there. So therefore, so you can continue to perform devotional service, and since devotional service, sadhana, means steady. So you want to be able to do the same service, right? You'd like to be able to walk to the temple rather than roll there in a wheelchair, right? You know, does that make sense? So these kind of things are, that's where it's a situation, it's Krishna conscious. But it's so simple, we say, oh yeah, I know that, but you know, I was looking for this complicated answer that I thought I should give. No, that's all it is. It's that simple. So you can go whatever situation you're in and look at it. What is here? Walk into your bathroom. What's in your bathroom? Why is it there? What's in your living room? What's in your kitchen? What's in your bedroom? You know, what's in the closet, that's another thing. Okay, you know, so why is it there? What's favor, what's not? How, what is this connection? It's that simple. It's so practical, down to earth, that it's hard to accept. No, I have to turn into some sophisticated, complicated thing. That I got to give all these right pat answers. But the point is Krishna consciousness is there, but it's right here also. That's the point. So whatever it is, then you want to see it in Krishna consciousness. Right? Otherwise, we're only going to see, I chant my japa, I went to the temple, I went to Guru Puja, I was at Tulsi Puja, like that. I took darshan, I offered obeisances, I circumambulated, I took charinamrita, you know, so job done. Now, when we walk out at 9 o'clock, it means we're going to be back in the temple when? Right? Possibly tomorrow morning at 4:30. So you figure, how much time is it from 9 o'clock this morning until 4:30 tomorrow morning? And then how are you going to make those situations Krishna conscious? Because for us, many times Krishna consciousness means only that. And if you're doing that, then you're Krishna conscious, which is the most important of all the situations. But the point is that why aren't we always there? You know what I'm saying? It means we live in Mayapur, how many live in the temple? And if we don't live in Mayapur, we live, how many live in the temple? So that means the majority of our life is not in the temple. Why aren't we in the temple? It's our choice not to be in the temple. Right? Not saying we should be, but we could be. But we're in a situation, what is that situation? Does it have anything to do with our particular personal interests? Where we live, the kind of house, what kind of job we have, what we do with our money, what clothes do we wear, what food do we eat, what's hanging on our wall, what's on the floor, what do we sit on? Do we have any at all control over that? It's just completely out of our control that we just found ourselves here and that's all. You understand? So that means we've been in situations and made choices. That's why that piece of furniture is in your house and in that spot on the floor. And that it's on the floor, right? It means we could screw it to the ceiling, you know? Just think of what your guests would do if they walked in and all the furniture was on the ceiling. I mean, definitely, they're not going to forget your house, right? Even 50 years later, they're still going to be telling the grandkids, yeah, and this one time I was invited to this lunch, and I walked in, all the furniture was on the ceiling. And I mean, how weird is that? You know, like that. So, does that make sense? So, the point is, why did you choose that? So that's the thing. Is that favorable? Was it Krishna is the choice? We'll just say a blanket statement, of course, I'm a devotee, of course. But if that's the case, we would be a pure, unalloyed devotee. And so if we're not, to that degree that we're not, know it, it's to that degree that the situations we're in, we don't see connected to Krishna. We see them and connected to ourselves. And that's all. Seeing it connect to ourselves is not the problem, as long as we see ourselves connected to Krishna. You understand? There is that funny little, it looks kind of like this. It's favorable, right? Because everyone can hear, it's a discussion, we're discussing Krishna Katha, so you're naturally asking something connected to Krishna. So, a lot of cookies. Must be Dwarasi morning, right?
Can I ask that to get your mentality to pure Krishna consciousness, you need sadhusanga, you know what I mean? To be in that favorable yes.
That's why you're in Mayapur, right? Otherwise, why be here out in the middle of nowhere? There's no electricity, it's hot, it's muggy. You know, you could be somewhere else. You know, if weather's your thing, you could be somewhere in the, you know, I've heard it never gets hot or cold in Malaysia or Indonesia. You know, so that's the thing, you know, unless you want things to work, you know, try somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? So sadhusanga is there, but the point is even you're there, you have to take advantage. Right? And taking advantage means favorably. Like mosquitoes, they also take advantage of sadhusanga. But not necessarily it's favorable for their relationship, you know, for Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So the point is everything's there. It's all there in the books. The devotees are there. We have to take advantage. We don't take advantage, then. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Can you get the... Oh, it's coming. Going all the way over there. What happened to the question? They got scared when they saw the mic? Or? It's an easy contraction. You just basically put it inside your mouth and people can hear. Yeah. So that's it? Yeah. Okay, we'll end here. It gives you 10 minutes to figure out something before darshan if you're still worried about the para. Another question over here. Oh, okay. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Like that, you see that Krishna has mother and father.
Something with that, no? Yeah, it's the fan. What kind of incarnation doesn't have a mother and father? It's Leela avatar, like that. So you have so many kinds of Leelas. But, I mean, you have a problem that the pillar is his parentage. It comes from a long line of pillars, right? It's a 1,000 pillar mandapa. How many people can take that many generations back? There are all of them, so he's from this pillar. Yeah? I mean, that means if he doesn't have a mother and father, you're not going to take him seriously, or like that. You know, what's it? Matri Devo Bhava, Pitri Devo Bhava, Acharya Devo Bhava. You know, where did he have no guru, no mother, no father? I mean, oh, it's just a general category is Leela. Like that. Okay. Otherwise we'll end here. So everyone can get in place beforehand. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Shimideva ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatari Gaura Premanandi.